Pokemon Go. If you're not playing, someone you know is. This hour, the revolution in gaming, how games are changing, and how they're changing us. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today we find out how the technology driving Pokemon Go is revolutionizing gaming and ask how concerned we should be about the personal information the game shares. My guests, University of Iowa Associate Professor of Computer Science Juan Pablo Orcad, Drake Assistant Professor of International Business and Strategy Matthew Mitchell, and Maeve Clark of the Iowa City Public Library will be along as well. Tell us about your experience with Pokemon Go. First, this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Pokemon Go. If you're not playing it, someone you know is. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Pokemon Go released earlier this month and has quickly become one of the most successful apps ever. It's a game that allows players to capture, battle, and train virtual creatures. These are called Pokemon. And here's what's unique. The Pokemon appear on device screens, on your smartphone, for instance, as though in the real world, in so-called augmented reality. Today, we find out how this technology driving Pokemon Go is revolutionizing gaming. We'll ask how concerned we should be about the personal information the game shares. Also, talk about cell phone security related to this issue and some other aspects of whether this is a game that is overall a benefit to us or has some downsides. We want to explore those as well. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from two guests with expertise in the technical and business sides of gaming. But first, we thought it would be better for me to experience this current gaming craze that has swept the world in the past few days. So yesterday, I went outside the IPR studio in Iowa City to try to catch Pokemon for the very first time. I began by saying hi to my Pokemon guru, otherwise known as Iowa Public Radio student intern Graham Bly.
Hello.
You're going to hold my hand, so to speak.
Your spiritual guru.
You're my spiritual guru. You've got a microphone to record all this. So I've got my I've never played this before, so I've got my smartphone here. I've downloaded the app.
Mm-hmm.
I've opened the app, and it wants me to access. It wants to access my location.
It does.
That's okay. And now it wants access photos, media, and files. Okay, I'm going to allow that to take pictures. And, okay, so, man, this is asking me a lot of questions.
Yeah, that's it.
We're going to talk about sharing of information a little bit later in the program, whether what I just did and mm-hmm. whether what anybody does is safe as far as allowing the information. Now it wants to access my contacts again, so I'm going to allow it this time because otherwise I don't think I'm going to be able to play. Okay, I think I'm through my interrogation by Pokemon. Okay, it says remember to be alert at all times, stay aware of your surroundings. This sounds ominous.
It does.
Graham. Okay, so I press okay.
Okay.
Here we go. It's starting.
Into the world.
Okay. Hello there. I am Professor Willow. Okay. Is he going to do anything else?
You might have to tap him. Ah, yep.
Did you know that this world is inhabited by creatures known as Pokemon? No. Pokemon can be found in every corner of the earth. Okay. Some run across the plains. Others fly through the skies. Some live in the mountains or in the forests or near water. All right, Professor. I have spent my whole life studying them and their regional distribution. Okay? So far, not very exciting, I have to say, Professor. A lot of preliminary stuff. Will you help me with my research?
Okay.
Of course I will, because I want a little adventure. Let's go! That's great. I was just looking for someone like you to help. I think you were looking for anybody, but
he
all right.
Only hope.
Okay, here we go. We're on an adventure. You'll need to find and collect Pokemon from everywhere. Okay, here in Iowa City as well. Uh-oh, there's a Pokemon nearby.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so I'm seeing a landscape. The professor is here in the front, and he just told me via text there's a Pokemon nearby. So Grams, I need a little help. Okay. Where do I go? I look around here. I don't see where I need to go.
Well, give him a tap.
Okay.
Get him out of here. Oh, he's going to give you some Pokeballs.
Okay, Pokeballs.
And they'll help you catch them.
Okay.
Okay, so there are three Pokemon on the screen here, it looks like.
And this is a representation of me here in this virtual world, but it's actually where I am right now?
It is. It's using your GPS location here. So the studio is going to be right here. We're standing outside of.
Okay. Catch a Pokemon. What do I do to do that?
So whichever one of these critters you think
How do I know which
might
way
help
I'm going?
You. Well, you'll walk wherever you're going.
Okay,
so
let's
the way
go.
You're facing.
Okay, let's go.
You're going to go towards this guy here.
Okay.
And then when you're close enough, give him a tap.
Oh, I'm facing. I got to turn the other way around.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Use your camera to find the Pokemon in the real world. Try it out. You can turn it off with the AR button at any time. Yes, camera on. Okay, here he is. Oh my gosh.
He's right here.
He is. He's right by the studios. Do I just touch him or?
So it looks like you swipe.
Oh, I see.
So you swipe the ball at him. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get him. Okay. I'm going to get him. Another shot. Okay, another shot.
There he is.
I got him.
All right.
Okay, so congratulations. I've caught my first Pokemon, the professor says. I can't remember his name.
I want to say Willow. Professor Willow.
Okay. Professor Willow, you are such a talented Pokemon trainer. What should I call you? Call me Ben?
Call me Ben.
What a cool nickname. Nice to meet you, the professor says. You will need more Pokeballs and other useful items during your exploration. You can find items at Pokestops.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to buy things there?
You can buy things if you're impatient or if you can't get around town. But the Pokestops are really cool. They'll be a lot of times at historic places around town.
Okay.
And when you go up to them, you give them a spin and they give you all kinds of items. So
okay.
Potions or Pokeballs.
Okay, let's keep going. From now on, you'll be off exploring all over the world. I hope you get out there and catch Pokemon and register them in your Pokédex. It's time to go. Move in the real world to move your avatar. Let's go.
Let's go.
Okay, should we go down here?
So, this little right-hand corner, you've got these shadowy guys.
Yeah.
If you give that a tap, it'll bring up everything that's near you. And then they won't be shadowy once you've seen them. But so the 3 footsteps versus 2 or 1 will indicate distance.
Okay.
So these are all relatively far away. But when we walk around, they'll get closer.
Okay, should we just go this way?
Let's have a stroll.
Let's head south here. Well, the one thing you can say about this is it certainly lets you get your exercise.
It does. I've seen people online say they've lost 10 pounds.
Really?
In a week of playing, which is great.
Oh, look at what we got a bat here.
Here we go.
So what do I do? Is that a Pokemon?
That is.
So what do I do now?
So you're going to want to give him a tap.
Okay, I tapped him. Oh, wow. Okay, there he is. He's right at this corner here. So I've got to try to get him.
Oh, there he is.
I got him.
Wiggle.
Gotcha, it says.
Zubat was caught.
Okay, out and about yesterday in Iowa City. My first outing playing Pokemon Go, the new craze, under the coaching of Iowa Public Radio student intern Graham Bly there. If you just joined us, we're talking about this gaming revolution, just a few weeks old, actually, Pokemon Go, what it means for business, for cybersecurity, for our society, our behavior. My guests for the rest of the hour, University of Iowa Associate Professor of Computer Science Juan Pablo Orcad. He's in our Iowa City studio. Juan Pablo, welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Ben. Good to be here.
Also with us, Assistant Professor of International Business and Strategy, Matthew Mitchell of Drake University in our Des Moines studio. Matthew, welcome to you.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
We want to reach out to our listeners because we know there are Pokemon players out there. Have you experienced it for yourself? Tell us about it. What questions do you have about playing it, sharing your information, the business, security sides of it? Where do you think this sort of augmented reality is heading? Do you have hopes? Do you have concerns? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. We're on Facebook or write your email to river to river at iowapublicradio.org. Matthew, let's start off with you. You've played it, right?
Absolutely.
And what was that experience like?
Well, I tell you, we got started last week. The first day it was released, and my son has had his leg broken for about a month. And so he's been in a cast, kind of laying around, watching, you know, television shows and just generally not active. And so he was in his cast, and I think we downloaded the app, and my other son, Benjamin, kind of got very excited. And within about 4 minutes, we were all outside of the house, walking around the neighborhood, looking for Pokemon. It was kind of an invitation to get out, to get excited about finding these little mythical creatures. And it was quite an adventure.
Okay. Are you a gamer otherwise, Matthew? Are you drawn into these things?
I am kind of a student of the gaming industry. I think we're all gamers. And,
okay.
And that's one of the things I think
okay.
that this, you know, draws upon.
Well, I don't consider myself a gamer. I look at people on couches playing games and I go, I got better things to do. But this had some kind of appeal, Matthew. So
yeah.
That's why I think it's a little bit different. As you say, it gets you out and moving. Juan Pablo Orcad, you have an experience? Did you try it out?
Yes. Yeah, so I've been trying it out as well. And it is something different. It has a different feel, especially because of the use of its location-aware features.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big difference, getting you out there and getting you to look at maps and really having to spend time outside in order to be able to progress in the game.
And this augmented reality, meaning that it's strange to be walking down the street and all of a sudden you see a Pokemon, you turn on – the camera gets turned on because you're going to fling your Pokeballs, and then you see – people on the street or wherever you may be, but then also among them are the Pokemon, right?
Yeah, so the augmented reality, I think it's not as essential to the gameplay as the location awareness, but it's been critical to the marketing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what happened to you, but what happened to me is all of a sudden my social media feeds were full of pictures of Pokemon all over the place. I was actually out of the country when it came out, so I couldn't play. Right?
Okay. So what was happening there? They were taking your information?
No. So it was in my social media feeds, my friends on Facebook, for example.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Everybody was posting pictures of Pokemon in their houses, mm-hmm. in their yards, and other interesting places.
Matthew Mitchell, you study there international business and strategy at Drake University. So tell us, what's going on here? What is the business model? It's got a lot of tentacles, if you want to put it that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, Nintendo has a long history of reinventing the gaming experience in the gaming industry. And this, I mean, if the very specific business model right now is, you know, generating revenue through microtransactions. So the app is free. You installed it and you click through a few things and then finally get into the game. And then, as your spiritual guru pointed out, if you're impatient, you can buy coins that allow you to purchase other items and accelerate, you know, other processes like hatching eggs. Instead of, I think you have to walk to hatch eggs. And
I did that. Can, yeah, you get
yeah.
an egg. You get an egg, and it told me you have to walk 2 kilometers to hatch that egg and find out what's in it.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, the business model right now is through those in-app transactions. But as you mentioned, there are lots of tentacles, other complementary kind of models for Nintendo, for Pokemon Company, for Niantic to generate additional revenue. And I've heard everything from theme parks to, you know, stuffed animals. My middle child, Benjamin, goes to sleep with a Pikachu, you know, character, and this reinvigorates that franchise.
So right, and that franchise started, what, almost 20 years ago or something?
1998, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so,
very early.
And so that caught on in a big way with a certain generation. Is this a different generation, the same generation, the parents of that generation? I don't know.
It's fantastic to see parents who played this game, 20 years ago, walking around with their children, playing this game and sharing the same experiences that they had 20 years ago. And so it is multi-generational. We had our grandfather out there playing and my 6-year-old son. So definitely multi-generational. A lot of love for these characters.
Mm-hmm. Juan Pablo Horcada, what sort of information? I outlined that there as I was going through giving away the permissions on my cell phone. I was giving away the location, the GPS location, access to even my contacts, my information. Is that something I should have asked about that before I did it? But I wanted to do the exercise. Is that something you should be worried about? What can be done with that information?
So I think the primary information that they need is your location. And I mean, if you are using any number of apps like Google Maps or Yelp or any of those other apps that use your location, you've already been giving it away. So I think especially for younger folks, it's not as big of an issue for
– We're getting used to it is what you're saying.
We're getting a little bit used to it. I guess the other side of it is from a business perspective also, if – this company were to do something inappropriate with that information, it would automatically tank their prospects.
Give them some bad press.
Perhaps what we don't know is to what degree our patterns of motion and the places we visit are being stored. I'm not aware of that, and I'm not sure that they made it public. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you wonder if, say, 20 years from now, the company's not doing so well, will that information be kept? Could it be used in any particular way?
Mm-hmm. Matthew Mitchell, what are your views? What information, insights do you have about the way information we're being allowed to go to the Pokemon Go game is being used?
Sure. I think Juan Pablo raises a number of kind of important concerns. And to some extent, this generation are our digital natives, and they're very much more comfortable giving away that information. You know, by the other hand, every time we purchase something at Target, at Walmart, they're tracking not only our purchases, but in many instances, you know, Home Depot is a fantastic example. They track our movements through the store to see what types of promotions that we're interested in. And so in whether it be in aggregate or specific information, this is a kind of phenomenon in our current reality that we, you know, are coming to grips with. And I think Pokemon Go is a great way to have that conversation. But I think we should all be aware of what information we're giving away freely to the services that we choose to use.
Mm-hmm. And with this app, we're helping them map, we're helping them build their game or augment their game.
So Pokemon Go was built on a game called Ingress, which was a Google company that started in 2012, a spinoff. And I chatted with my IT ninja at Drake University, Greg Christie, and he's been an Ingress player for 4 years. And basically, using Ingress players, they have mapped out our world around us already. Mm. So for 4 years, they've taken pictures of the sculpture garden, of different landmarks, of different monuments, and these all get curated and then approved through the Ingress management team. And then Pokemon Go used that same mapping function to basically be able to release Pokemon Go as a fully formed, mapped game. And so it is kind of mapped by the users, which is a neat way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Join our conversation as we talk about the experience of Pokemon Go. It's only been released here in the U.S. a couple weeks now, but there are certainly enough people. If you go to your town center, if you go to many places, you'll see people doing things with cell phones. You might not recognize it immediately, but they're doing this kind of curious flicking across the screen with their finger. That is, they're flinging Pokeballs at the Pokemon and trying to capture them, and on and on, on and on from there. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. So this is interesting that, for instance, yesterday when I did my roundabout there with Pokemon, I came upon a Vietnam War memorial, which was a Pokestop. And that's typically something they will – so it had a picture of it, and that was a place they were directing me to, right, Matthew? And these types, yep, of places are picked out.
The exact same thing happened to us. We were going to the Iowa State Capitol building, and it was a Pokestop. And so outside of the State Capitol building, there was a Korean War Memorial and a Purple Heart Memorial. And all of the information on that memorial was built into the game. So there was a picture. We could go up and find it, interact with it in the physical world. my children also, you know, took the opportunity to read all about the memorial that was actually on the cell phone.
Mm.
So it was an enhancement of our experience and actually drew us to memorials that I haven't been to just because we wanted to go see what was there.
Mm, interesting. Talk a little bit about another business aspect. You can have businesses totally unconnected with Nintendo or the enterprise putting this together. We are seeing your local restaurants, pubs, supermarkets taking advantage of this. How, Matthew?
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's two main ways I think you can, you know, capitalize on the wave of interest in Pokemon Go. First, just purchasing lures, and you can drop a lure in your location, and that actually increases foot traffic to your business. I've seen some reports, you know, a coffee shop doubling their revenue in 1 week just because they've purchased these very small lures and they market to Pokemon Go
and
users.
And the lures attract Pokemon?
The lures attract different sorts of Pokemon. And so when you put out mm-hmm. a lure, these wild mythical creatures kind of appear more frequently and come into your store. And then therefore that drags and attracts Pokemon users.
But as a coffee shop owner or bar owner, I have to pay for that lure.
And compared to the revenue they're generating, from what I can tell, it's absolutely a wise investment. You pay about a dollar or two per lure, and you get so much more traffic as a result. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other way I think you can you know, capitalize on this is offering discounts and social gatherings. And so there are three teams that you can choose to be a part of in Pokemon Go.
Once you reach a certain level, I was told by some kids I ran into.
Yep. Yeah,
I think level 5.
Level 5, that's right. And, you know, offering discounts to Team Mystic on one night and then offering rival discounts to Team Instinct on the next night. And so, again, it transcends the electronic interaction into kind of the more in-person social interaction that I think is really the elegance behind this game.
Matthew Mitchell of Drake University, Juan Pablo Oracad of the University of Iowa. Juan Pablo, jump in here before our break.
Yeah, so I think the interesting aspect with this game is that it can make physical locations that may not pose attraction to people by themselves mm-hmm. all of a sudden interesting and attractive because of this virtual items that are superimposed on them. Mm-hmm. I think that's something new and that's something interesting.
Mm-hmm. And as Mitchell found out, or Matthew Mitchell found out with his family, you go there and actually discovered a memorial that you didn't know was there and found out something about it.
Yep. And I'll also say the very – you know, you captured, I think, a Zubat at the
yes.
first time. Our first Pokemon that we captured was a crab at a seafood restaurant. And so we kind of – the irony was in full effect. It was pretty amazing.
I captured one of those too. Just, Matthew, you're not going to one-up me on this. I got crabby as well.
You got crabby as well. We'll have to trade sometime.
Okay. Thank you very much. Matthew Mitchell, stay with us. Juan Pablo Oracad with us as we talk about the Pokemon craze. And we want to know if you're onto it or you – looking at your radio or perhaps your smartphone, you're listening to our website and you're saying, what is this? Why are you talking about it? Well, it's a revolution in gaming that has a lot of implications. And we're talking to Matthew and Juan Pablo about where this is going, why this is happening. And when we come back, we also want to talk about how it's changing us socially. It wasn't hard to find on the internet instances of crime being generated by Pokemon Go. Also, accidents and injuries. This game draws you in. It draws in your attention. And when they have the warning at the beginning of the game, be aware of your surroundings. They are not kidding. So we want to hear about your experiences. 1-866-780-9100. Talking about Pokemon Go and the gaming revolution here on River to River. I'm Ben Kiefer. Back in just a moment. And we're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour exploring the craze, the phenomenon that is Pokemon Go, released earlier this month. It's quickly become one of the most successful apps ever. Perhaps you've played it and would like to share this hour, your experience, your hopes, your concerns. The game allows players to capture, battle, and train these virtual creatures called Pokemon. And these Pokemon appear on your, perhaps your smartphone, on the screen. as though they're in the real world. This is what is called augmented reality. And we have two experts, different perspectives on this, talking about that today with us. Matthew Mitchell, Assistant Professor of International Business and Strategy at Drake University. Juan Pablo Horcad, Associate Professor of Computer Science at the University of Iowa. You can join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Yesterday, I was out playing Pokemon for the very first time under the supervision of Pokemon Go veteran IPR intern Graham Bly. We came across a whole bunch of kids, and you'll see, you'll hear their excitement about this game.
Let's walk over. There's a group of kids by the bus stop here. Let's just do an informal survey and go
right
over there.
See what they know. See what they can tell us.
Yeah. How's everybody doing? We're with Iowa Public Radio. This is the first time I've played Pokemon.
Do you guys know this
game? You guys seem pretty excited about that. Come over here. What do you like about Pokemon? What makes it such a neat game? You don't know. Go ahead, step right up.
The best part about Pokemon Go is that it's virtual reality, where it looks like the Pokemon is just standing right in front of you or right around you.
I got Jinx, and I got Zubat. Do you know these ones?
Yeah. If you head down to the pinball, all you catch is Drowsy. So there's Drowsy.
They're what?
Drowsy.
Drowsy. Is a Pokestop. Okay, yeah. So Drowsy. Is he dangerous? Do you have to worry about him?
No, not really. What level are you on?
I'm at 2.
We're level 2.
I leveled up. I just leveled up back there. High five.
When you get to level 5, choose Team Red.
That's
Team
Red. Game changes.
Okay, we're going to let you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank
you.
Very interactive.
All right.
It's very interactive.
Thank you.
Okay, from what I could hear, maybe 7 or 8 year olds very excited about Pokemon Go. But this is something that goes to other ages, Matthew Mitchell, doesn't it? Is this... this crosses many ages, though perhaps older people won't want to admit it.
Yeah. I think, you know, the fascinating thing, when Nintendo released the Wii a number of years ago, they expanded the demographic from 18 to 26-year-old males, anywhere from 6-year-olds, 4-year-olds to, you know, senior citizens in retirement facilities playing Wii bowling, Wii Fit. And I think we're seeing a similar phenomenon now. Grandparents with their grandchildren kind of out finding Pokemon.
Okay, tell us about your Pokemon Go experience or questions related to it. Mike is in Marshalltown. He called 1-866-780-9100. Hi, Mike. Have you played it?
I have not, but I do have a couple teenagers that have downloaded it.
Okay, and they're passionate about it? They're playing it a lot?
Well, I'll tell you what. I called in with a couple questions. Number one, as a dad, I had a financial question, and then I'm also curious about your thoughts from a social perspective.
Okay, shoot. What are your questions? Yeah.
As someone who manages the cost on a cell plan for 3 teenagers, you know, I'm always curious of what the bandwidth is.
Yep.
And I know anytime I use location services and mapping services, that always tends to chew up bandwidth. So on a 6-gig plan, I'm wondering how many days I have before I have to buy extra data.
Not long. Your days are numbered, Mike, I think. Yeah. Right, Matthew?
Well, so I surveyed a few power users, and these are folks that have been playing every day for multiple hours a day. And since inception on July 9th, they'd only used about 129 megabytes. And kind of that's actually less than the full size of the game. So if you're spending some time in proximity to Wi-Fi and then also some other time walking, I can't imagine that you would get to a full gig just dedicated to this app in a month. So,
but there is a business benefit to your cell phone provider if you blow through the limit that you set in your monthly plan, right?
Yep. I think if you want to put this into context, I think you're much more likely to blow through your limit because of watching Netflix or Hulu or YouTube on your cellular than you would be from using Pokemon Go.
Hmm. Okay, Mike, did you have another quick question?
Yeah, I did. More of a social concern. I'm also a manager in an IT department, and, you know, we're always looking for people not just with technical ability, but people who can also converse with business users. And I question if at times we're creating a generation of people who are more isolated and, you know, speaking in 140 characters at a time or one-word responses in SMS messages. And,
right.
And I wonder if this helps, this kind of application helps engage people in a meaningful way, or if it's really more of a substitute to more meaningful conversation and interaction.
Good question. Let me toss this one to Juan Pablo Orcad. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think just like with any other technology, we're going to go through a period of adaptation where we're going to figure out how we're going to end up using this technology and how it's going to fit within our lives. I think there's an overall concern about the amount of time people spend with technologies in general and how it tends to isolate us from those who are near us, physically near us. Well, it makes it a lot easier to connect with those who are located remotely. I think that's the million-dollar question as to how that's going to affect us in the future. I think this kind of concerns about something coming in that's new and affecting our social relationships goes back to any just about anything new that comes up. So, for example, in the 19th century when novels became popular and people started spending hours a day reading novels, there was exactly the same concern right. as we have yeah. now.
Right, right. Matthew, your comment on the question Mike in Marshalltown had.
Right. So as kind of we've mentioned, I teach business and I do a lot of executive education and also some education with small businesses, entrepreneurs. And a lot of their requests are, I think the communication flows both ways, right? You know, teaching young people, which we do on a regular basis, to think critically, to communicate their concepts logically. But at the same time, I think we have, you know, older, you know, businesses, executives, you know, citing a real demand to be able to learn how to think in sound bites and to interact very, very efficiently. And Juan Pablo is probably the expert in this area in terms of computer and human interaction. But from my kind of layperson's perspective, this is just a natural, you know, outgrowth of the technologies we're interfacing with. And I think it requires a little elasticity, a little adaptability from all generations to learn how to communicate effectively.
Matthew Mitchell with us of Drake University, Juan Pablo Orcad of the University of Iowa, getting your sense of this new revolution, Pokemon Go, just a few days old here in the United States and already making quite an impact. If you go to any public area, you will see people playing it in your town, in your city, in special places, near monuments and so forth. 1-866-780-9100 to join our conversation. Maeve Clark is joining us as well of the Iowa City Public Library, where she is the Adult Services Coordinator. Maeve Clark, how are you today?
I'm fine, Ben. How are you?
Good. So the last few days, what have they been like at the public library? Because I see you are a Pokestop.
We are a Pokestop.
And tell us, because not everybody knows, what is a Pokestop?
It's a place, it's a building, an institution, an area that's free so that anybody can go there. And it's where you can find, I'm a novice at this, Ben. You probably, because you're at level two, I'm only at level one. I have captured three Pokey whatever, Pokey people.
Pokemon.
Whatever, Pokemon.
I think that's the plural, Pokemon.
Pokemon. Mm. I've captured three of them, and that was only with a lot of help, one from a 7-year-old and one from a 21-year-old out on the ped mall. But we decided that, you know, the library is a Pokestop, and so we have lots and lots and lots of people in. And I sent an email out yesterday asking staff to tell me some stories about them, and I was listening to your little clip about the very excited kids, and they were talking about what you can find downtown on the Ped Mall, and then they also made a comment that we had two staff members tell me that they overheard a child complaining because we had too many drowsies at the library, and drowsies are kind of, they're boring, you want something more exciting, and so we have them. In fact, I have a couple pictures. There's one on the outside of my office of two Pokemon in my office. Because we're in a fairly public location, we have lots and lots of activity. we have a teen center, and in the teen center is a charging station. So a lot of teens have been coming in and getting more energy for their phones because they run out of that probably.
So you're seeing more traffic because of this?
Oh, definitely.
And people walking out with books maybe sometimes.
Well, yes. I mean, we do whatever we can to lure people into the library. In fact, you can make your institution or your Pokestop a lure by getting up to a high enough level. And that's what I was trying to do on Friday, because we had a book sale the next day. So we put signs up that said we were a Pokestop and wanted people to come into our book sale. So I decided to download the app, but I was having trouble with it. So I went out into the hallway, and I found a mom who was looking at her phone, and she had a child in a stroller, and then like a seven-year-old. And I asked the mom if she could help me, and she said, no, well, I can try, but the little one probably can do it even better. And so I showed her my phone, and she said, oh, yeah, you can do this, but you have to allow it. And the mom looked at me, and she said, she means allow. And so this little child, this tiny little child, was far more sophisticated than I was. And once I allowed it, I was able to then play Pokemon. But we've had lots and lots of people come in, and I have a couple other stories that staff shared with me. We had an increase in older tweens and teens, and they come either into the children's room where the windows face the Ped Mall, because then you can do the interior and the exterior Pokemon all at once. I mean, they're pretty smart, these kids. Or they come upstairs to the second floor where they can be out on looking out over the pedestrian mall. And so we've had kids come in, and they recharge their phones, and then sometimes they stay. And let's see, what else have we had? Oh, and we're going to do a craft. So we're going to do a craft for kids who are 8 and above. Probably we'll get some littler kids in that, and it's a non-augmented reality Pokemon game.
Okay, so Maeve Clark, thank you for sharing with us how initially these first few days, how the Iowa City Public Library is riding the wave of this Pokemon craze. Thanks, Maeve.
Oh, yeah, it's public libraries are doing everything they can to be a part of it. So we want people to come in, and then we have books on Pokemon, and we made a display. I'll just tell you this one last thing. We made a display that had all sorts of different kinds of books on it, how to be safe when you're outdoors, how to do adventures outside. So we've had some fun with it as well.
Okay. Maeve Clark, thanks again.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Let's go quickly to the phones, because our hour is getting away from us. Like that elusive Pokemon, I suppose. Blaine is with us in Des Moines. How are you experiencing Pokemon, Blaine?
Hi. I am a safety specialist for a construction company. Over this past weekend, we had some kids get security, take some kids out of a barricaded area we were working. So we were not on the site, but they had... Apparently there was Pokemon inside the gating, and they had been in there looking for them.
This presents obviously a danger around a construction site, don't you think, Blaine?
Yes, absolutely. The barricade was for trench excavation, and there's equipment around, tools.
Yeah.
So obviously they can fall in the ditch, but yeah, that's what we're dealing with now. And we're told that the more activities around, the more Pokemon are around. So we're looking at, college campuses. This happened on a college campus. So we're really at a loss for what we can do to take that liability from us.
Right back to what Juan Pablo Ricard said there. There's a period of adjustment. This is all new, right? We've got to find out that there are dangers here. I'm looking at, didn't take me long to find out, accidents and injuries. A New York man driving while playing the game. He got distracted, drove off the road, slammed into a tree, taken to a hospital with minor injuries. 15-year-old Pennsylvania girl hit by a car as she was walking onto a busy highway while paying attention to her phone and not the oncoming traffic. Blaine, thanks for sharing that story. Matthew Mitchell, there's a downside to this, right?
Absolutely. So I think Niantic, Nintendo, Pokemon have done a very good job and been proactive with warning users about, being aware of the threats and dangers and being aware of your environment before you engage in the game. They've also, I think, gone to great lengths through mapping to put Pokemon off of roads, so at a relatively safe distance away from roads. So you're not going to see a Pokemon just randomly pop up in the middle of an intersection, right? So, but still, very, very significant dangers. When you have 65 million people playing, also the law of averages kind of, you know, suggests that we will find accidents that happen. I mean, whether these people were bathing in their tub or sitting at work, if you have 65 million people, you're going to find a few stories where people get into trouble. And,
right.
And I think that's also at play a little bit here as well.
Here's a story of distraction. This is told by our Iowa Public Radio News intern, Mary Kahn. She witnessed this.
I do not like it. It's a huge pet peeve of mine, actually. And I'm not a huge fan of video games altogether, just because you can waste so much time. It's easy. I think they're made to be addictive. And it's not something you can just sit down for an hour and then come back to. And actually, the other day, I was driving, and I came across a car. It was, like, stopped in the middle of a residential road. It did not have its hazards on. Like, this person had just parked their car and ran out. And there was a construction site nearby, and they were, like, climbing the fence trying to reach over with their phone, and I'm assuming playing Pokemon Go. There could be nothing else that they were doing. And so it's dangerous, and that's not the only story that's come out about people being, like, distracted driving, playing Pokemon Go. So I think there are a lot more downsides to the game than upsides, like getting outside. It's people getting outside distracted.
Okay, not a Pokemon a fan. Mary Kahn there, IPR news intern. Juan Pablo, a comment on that. This distraction here has to be dealt with.
I think it's a great opportunity to be social with a game. I think it's a lot more fun to go out with someone else. Mm-hmm. Hopefully someone with good common sense.
Oh, so you have a guardian angel, kind of. You kind of have to go out and say, watch out, there's a trench. You're in a construction
maybe
site.
Maybe it's not such a good idea to go in there.
Right.
And take turns playing. And I think it's just going to be a lot more fun. Mm. And it's going to be a lot safer, too.
Matthew Mitchell, your thoughts?
That's a great recommendation. I think always, you know, definitely if you have a young child or, you know, even a teenager, going out in pairs, especially if you're going to be out in the evening time, it's a wonderful recommendation.
1-866-780-9100. Let's go to Jeremiah. Let's go to Bob. Bob is in Carroll. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how's it going today?
Pretty good. We're coming up on the end of the hour. What, you have a Pokemon story?
Well, actually, my son's into the cards. He's 8 years old, and I'm thinking he might like something like this.
He's old school and, then, right? Know, old school,
yeah,
with the cards. Okay, good.
Yeah, and then, you know, with this, being able to go out, and hopefully there's more of these at, like, state parks and stuff,
yeah.
And maybe the state could do something to kind of integrate this as well, you know, maybe to get kids out and,
yeah,
you know, stuff like that. But I do understand the concerns with driving and, you know, common sense should prevail. But most 8-10-year-olds don't really understand that well, you know, like adults. So
right.
My thought on it. So.
Right. Thank you very much, Bob, for calling from Carroll. Not only injuries, but also crime evidently being initiated with Pokemon Go. Auburn, Alabama, police confirming that a victim was assaulted and robbed after following his Pokemon Go game to a closed building at 3 a.m. So there is a lure. Four suspects later arrested, Matthew.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People, devious minds have begun work immediately.
Absolutely. The market forces are at work, right? So whenever I think you can attract people to a particular location, whether it be for noble or nefarious purposes, that's going to happen. Bob, I really do appreciate you also mentioning the Pokemon Go trading card game. I mean, this has been around for a long time, and I think Iowans actually should know that we in our midst have a national champion from Iowa here, crowned a couple weeks ago. Nick Robinson was a national champion at the Pokemon Go tournament.
Didn't
but then we also have a 3-time world champion who was an alumni of Drake University a few years ago. He was a 3-time world champion Pokemon video game player named Ray Rizzo, kind of a Drake University alum. And so Iowa, I don't know, maybe has a long connection to Pokemon playing.
And this is the next chapter. Well, just a quick word about the future of this. Juan Pablo Arcad, do you see this developing in a certain way where you could do something more creative with this? We have just a minute.
Yeah, so I think it would be really interesting to not just experience content provided by a company in this case, in this virtual environments, but also enable people to make their own virtual creations that can only be accessed in certain physical spaces.
Oh, so I would go to the park close to my house, but I would see something built by Juan Pablo Arcade in the virtual reality.
Exactly. And that might make it really interesting, and it could really give you a whole new range of virtual things to experience as you visit physical locations.
Matthew, 30 seconds for you to look into the future with this for us.
I think just yesterday we found some code in the Pokemon Go app linking McDonald's to the app. So I think we can foresee corporate sponsorships. I love Juan Pablo's recommendation. I think the ability to promote trading between individuals to enhance that social aspect. And we all grow up as gamers, right? We all learn through a gaming environment, whether it's Monopoly, card games, or we're just playing ball on the recess field. Yeah. So this, I think, marries the technology with our natural instincts, and it'll be interesting to see how it turns out.
Okay, thank you very much. Get out there and get some more Drowsies, Krabbies, or Zubats. That's what I caught yesterday. Thank you very much. Matthew Mitchell, Assistant Professor of International Business and Strategy at Drake University. Juan Pablo Orcad, Associate Professor of Computer Science at the University of Iowa. Thank you both for joining us.
Ben, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Politics Wednesday tomorrow, of course, we'll be looking at the Republican National Convention going on. Also, the speech by our Senator, Joni Ernst. Hope you'll join us tomorrow for Politics Wednesday. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth, with help from Lauren Knutson. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.